Today on Locked On Rockies, well, that was unexpected and fun.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on Rockies fans, welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the 10th day of August in the year 2022. I'm your Rockies fan extraordinaire, Paul Holden, bringing you your Colorado Rockies podcast each and every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Proud to be your first listen of the day. We are free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. All you got to do is search Locked On Rockies and you're going to be taken to where you need to go. Of course, streaming service, YouTube, wherever you are comfortable, you can find the show. Who am I? Well, I'm Paul Holden, like I said, your Rockies fan extraordinaire, bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies talk here for a couple seasons now and following this team my entire life. Today on Locked On Rockies, well, it's a good day, a good fun day to talk about here as the Rockies, not only do they play spoiler of the win streak for the Cardinals, but we see some players take absolutely massive strides. We see players do stuff that we were hoping for throughout the season. We see players doing stuff that they haven't done in their careers in last night's game, and that includes on both sides, including the Rockies doing enough damage to the Cardinals starter to be, I believe, the most runs scored in a start in a long, long time. Let me see what we got here. 12 runs the Rockies score before the Cardinals even scoring one. Miles Mikolas didn't make it out of the third inning, and by the third inning he had allowed 10 runs, 14 hits after 2 2/3 innings. He is that's I believe the first or the largest amount and the least amount of distance someone has gone in like the modern era of baseball. It was an absolutely incredible. I don't know what it was for the Rockies to go out and score nine runs in the bottom of the third. Every single Rockies hitter in the lineup. I don't know if it was they're irked by some stuff. If it was just the way the baseball gods kind of decided for the game to go last night, and it was just kind of crazy. I couldn't even believe it because I was just kept going in. I turned on the game a little bit late, so I missed the first three runs, and boy, you can't ask for a better start against a hot team like the Cardinals than a three-run crooked number there in the first inning. Absolutely great start for the Rockies from the top half of their lineup to get there in the into that, and then leading into what was arguably one of the best innings of the year. I mean, this is probably the best game the Rockies have played. Maybe the only other game being the Chad Kuhl domination of the Dodgers. That could be the only time that you can really say the Rockies have dominated teams would be last night and that game against the Dodgers. And even last night they tried letting them get in. But let me get you that stat here. Mike Mikolas allowed 10 earned runs on 14 hits, as of course it just goes away. What the heck was that? I got hit with a pop-up right as I was reading that. Wow, that is a really unfortunate. I'm not using an out-of-date version of Chrome. That just isn't okay. Got it back here. 14 hits in just 2.2 innings. It's the first time in MLB history that a pitcher has allowed 14 hits and 10 earned runs in less than 3 innings of work. That's amazing. I mean, 14 hits, 10 runs in less than 3 innings. It doesn't even matter. It's Coors Field, and you can see everyone's going to Coors Field, Coors Field, Coors Field, Coors Field, Coors Field, Coors Field. You're going to Coors Field it. You can say what you want, but that's last night was when you're looking at why the team was built the way it is, when we're looking at what the Rockies were hoping for from this roster, you're not obviously going to pull it off like games like last night all the time, but that's what the Rockies are looking for. Someone that they were looking for big thumps, and that's the Grichik part is huge. Grichik gets his first 5-hit game of his career, including a mammoth home run. I mean, the Rockies' home runs last night were crushed. Ryan McMahon hitting the biggest home run in for a Rocky. It's the longest since Statcast for the Rockies, which I thought was kind of crazy. But we're going here from Thomas Harding. It is McMahon's 11th dinger of the season, which measured as the third longest at Coors and longest by a Rocky since Statcast began measuring in 2015. It's also tied for the sixth longest anywhere in that time period. And it was 1 foot shy of the longest home run this year by Marlon Jesus Sanchez against the Rockies at Coors Field. I mean, biggest takeaway from last night's game: players that we've been looking for more have really stepped up, and it's players the Rockies do well. The Rockies can go on stretches, and the Rockies offense is going to hum when Ryan McMahon and Randall Grichuk are contributing to the lineup. I'm not asking them to go 4 for 5 or hit 5 hits and hit 490 foot bombs the whole way. But this is why the Rockies went out and got Grichuk. This is why the Rockies turned to Ryan McMahon and treat him the way that they treat him there. This is a big time moment for those two players, and McMahon, who has ended up having a nice little solid stretch of late. Ryan McMahon played a nice little road trip, even though the team might not have had the best road trip going 2 for 6. But man, it is Ryan McMahon went 10 for 26 with 3 home runs and 9 RBIs, batting .385. And he says the game is very humbling, and he is going to keep on going. So, man, great stuff from there. And we haven't even talked about the ups and downs still of this Rockies bullpen, but a great start from Feltner, too. And let's dive into that. But before we dive into that, I got to dive into the folks that help make this show possible, and that includes our friends at Liver Health Formula. Also, today's episode, by the way, is brought to you by BlueNile.com. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. Also brought to you by Liver Health Formula. The liver is the body's metabolic furnace. It's responsible for flushing out harmful toxins and igniting your fat-burning metabolism. But thanks to modern diets rich in unhealthy processed foods and constant exposure to thousands of man-made and environmental toxins, most of us have overworked livers. But now, it's easy to rejuvenate your liver health and reignite your metabolism thanks to Liver Health Formula by Pure Health Research. Liver Health Formula contains 8 liver-boosting supernutrients like turmeric, beet, and artichoke extract, all of which work together to wake up a sluggish liver and turn it into a toxin-flushing and fat-burning machine. No more bloated belly, no more uncomfortable digestion, no more feeling tired and low on energy all the time. And best of all, Liver Health Formula makes it easier to maintain a healthy body weight long-term. As a listener of our show, you can try Liver Health Formula risk-free today and get a free bottle of CurbFit with your order. CurbFit is safe and all-natural appetite suppressant, making it easy to say no to naughty foods. Go to GetLiverHelp.com/MLB to learn more. That's GetLiverHelp.com/MLB to try Liver Health Formula completely risk-free and claim your free bottle of CurbFit with your order. Get to GetLiverHelp.com/MLB to get started. Diving into the live chat here, MM says, "Hey, Paul, do you think it's time to shut down KB23? And what do you think about how Montero is playing? And this team needs to play pissed off the rest of the year." I don't necessarily know about shutting down KB. It's not necessarily a terrible idea, especially if he's going to do something that's a surgery or a process or something that he can really tackle some of these issues to go for it. At this point, he's already been on and off the IL 3 times. The Rocky season at this point is pretty well decided. So do I hate the idea of shutting down KB? No, I don't hate the idea of shutting down KB. Will it actually happen? I don't think that is going to be the case. I'd imagine the Rockies, especially towards the end of the season when they're really trying to finish up the year with a big push for people to come to the ballpark, for a big push for people to come in and say, hey, what about them Rockies? What are they up to? And all that stuff. I think Chris Bryant is going to be the one that leads the way there for the Rockies, in addition to some of their other fan favorites for them. But I don't think they'll shut Chris Bryant down, but it very much could be a possibility as well. And how do I think Montero is playing? I think Montero is playing great, and I think it's exactly what the Rockies needed to do with Montero on this call-up. You have to realize, at least this is the one thing we can say with this part of the season, and this where we've gotten to at this point, is the Rockies are doing that right. They brought Montero up, and he is playing consistently. And I'm fine even if Montero has to play through a bad stretch. In fact, I'd like Montero to have to battle through something there and come back there. But I'd argue that he's done that enough by going up and down and up and down and up and down this year and not having the most amount of opportunities. He's finally being put into a situation where he's getting a lot of at-bats. He's getting consistent at-bats. And what has he done? He's been a contributor to this club. He's been someone that has been major, even though, again, the Rockies' record hasn't been great over the last 10 days with them getting back into the swing of things back at home here, getting a win. The Rockies now 3 wins in their last 10 games, I believe. No, 3 wins in their last 9 games there. But Eloris Montero, in his last 3 games, 6 hits in 12 at bats. I mean, he's batting .500 in his past three games, and he's played multiple consistent games in a row. That's crucial. Let Montero build his rhythm. Let Montero build the way he wants to go through this game and go through his process. He can't do that when he's not sure if he's in the lineup. He can't do that if his only opportunity is a pinch hit there or this, that, and the other thing. And so I think the Rockies are going to have to continue to let him get in a little third base, move Ryan McMahon around a little bit more. We've talked about this. With Ryan McMahon, the idea of him just stalwart for third baseman, let's get him that gold glove, that defense there, kind of floated away with the way that the Rockies season started and went through there. At this point, let's just put players in the best position that possible. And what's nice about McMahon is you're really not down on Ryan McMahon playing anywhere in the infield other than maybe first base. I mean, Ryan McMahon can play second, shortstop, and third and play them all well and give those players some rest or get that in there and allows more opportunity for Montero to get over there and play some third base and get over there. I'd like to see him at first base a little bit more, play a little bit more just in case, but I don't think first base is necessarily going to be the primary focus for Eloris Montero for the Rockies. I think that's going to be more Taglia's role and getting him involved there. And so that is going to be that's kind of my initial thoughts on Montero's playing right now. I haven't seen enough on the defensive season, it's nothing to be upset about when it comes to Montero, other than it took way too long to get to this point. But hey, we are happy with the way Montero is playing. Adrian in the live chat says the Cardinals, the first 3 innings are the Rockies pretty much all season, so close yet so far. Yep, it's an interesting point there. The Cardinals they're a good team. They got really great players. They got really great pitching. The division is going to be a really exciting one down the stretch. Man, but it was interesting in that one to start things off with getting things, man. To see Nolan not make those plays that he usually makes, the Rockies to score all those runs. I have to wonder for some of those Rockies players if it was kind of digging through the weeds a little bit. The pregame celebration maybe a little bit not. Obviously, I think the players want to celebrate the great ones, and I think all of them have great respect for two legends of the game in Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina. But again, it was weird. The Rockies being the only team that really done this. I know other teams have done some stuff, but what does Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina really have to do with the Rockies other than being big name baseball players and playing every now and then here? I think that might have lit a fire under them to realize that they walked into Coors Field and they kind of opened Coors Field up and said, hey, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Bring everyone in that isn't a Rockies fan. Adrian said the Rockies played like the Dodgers, punishing them for their bad plays. I mean, and that's exactly right. The Rockies this year would have a better record if they were better at clutch situations and coming in and putting their foot down when teams give them opportunities. Why do other teams run away from the Rockies? It's because they take advantage of a crappy bullpen and they take advantage of situations that the Rockies give them, especially that sloppy defense the Rockies were playing there. Good teams take advantage of teams giving them any opportunities, and the Rockies took advantage of every single opportunity last night. You're not going to do that all the time. But that is what you need to do to win not only close games, but to win games like that and win big. Another thing we didn't talk about last night was Ryan Feltner. Pretty solid little start there. Again, it got a little shaky. It's been something that the Rockies getting to their closer. Even Jack said it on the radio call. It has been an absolutely brutal stretch for the Rockies to go from their starter to get to Daniel Bard or their closer. And that was kind of on display yesterday there with Jake Bird, but no damage done too much. Feltner gets out of there, 5.2 innings, 4 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. You know, only the 4 hits, but getting burned a little bit there on big hits, on major hits there. But, you know, still, for him, that's a nice little thing. It's exactly kind of what what I like seeing from the Rockies going to a younger guy. Feltner is one of the younger pieces of this rotation. Letting him get out and get some more starts, get something going on, and go in there and develop and play against good teams. And, you know, his offense backed him up big time, but he had some great, you know, kind of things that a little rocky towards the end. I'm a little worried when I'm watching Feltner. I'd like to see him get to that sixth inning. We're seeing him kind of top out in the fourth and the fifth there. That's about all that he's made it to go. But again, this is a younger guy. It's a younger piece in the rotation that they've had. It's good to see Feltner continuing to go out there, get some starts, and he went up. What Ryan Feltner did was he went longer in the game. He got more another inning under his belt. He hadn't gotten past the fourth inning in his past starts. So the Rockies were able to get a little bit more out of Feltner. And, you know, not the best from Bird, but Bird only the 2 hits and the 1 walk didn't allow any earned runs there either. 3 strikeouts, Bird perfectly fine coming in there, got into some trouble, got out of a big jam there too. The Cardinals had some bases loaded situation and some ducks on the pond. And we got to look at the new arm for the Rockies last night, the Nelson Lamet in there for the Rockies as well. And that's going to be, I'm excited for that. That's a really, really nice move for the Rockies. A low risk move. Get him on the waivers. Get him on here and let him contribute to the team. Not very often are the Rockies able to turn to someone for 2 innings at the end of a game, and that's what they were able to get last night. The Rockies only used 3 pitchers in last night's game. That's a pretty darn good line, especially when you look at Lamet's line here. 2 innings, 2 hits, 2 strikeouts. I mean, that's it. No walks. That's the crucial thing there. If Lamet can be a bullpen piece that doesn't walk people, really nice pickup for the Rockies. A really, really great day at the yard for the Rockies. It's one of those things that you kind of sit there and say, where is this? Why can this team do it now? Where has it been? But games like last night are kind of part of the weirdness and the anomaly of baseball. Imagine, I mean, they're the Cardinals. The Cardinals won 7 games going into this before that game last night. Baseball can just be a little weird and a little tricky sometimes. I like what Michael Disney has in the chat here. Next year, the Rockies' motto needs to be hashtag take back Coors Field. I think that will be Rockies fans' mottos, but I can certainly tell you that no one from the managerial or front office side is going to be promoting that, because we all know our boy Dickie M loves his out-of-towners coming into his ballpark. That's why you throw a celebration for big-name players when you know a team comes in, can come in and pack your stadium and sell more tickets. And that's the one thing Dick Monfort does well, and make sure that his ballpark is full of people. The Rockies also got to see some promotions from within. Some Rockies prospects are making moves, and we're going to talk about that and what that means, what that looks like. Is that a good thing for the Rockies? But before we do that, got to tell you about our friends at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile is the place to go when you are looking for your next piece of jewelry, especially if you're getting ready to pop the question or celebrating a milestone moment. Find jewelry as unique as your favorite person with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft the perfect engagement ring, and each ring is one of a kind. Are you looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available on the phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every single budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com. Okay, let's see here. What's on your mind, Rockies fans? I'm curious as the Rockies, how did you guys feel after last night's game? Leave a comment there on the YouTube video. Let us know on Twitter at LO Rockies, and or let me know at Paul Holden 33. Bunch of minor league promotions to keep an eye on here. One of them a good story and something that I'm hoping it continues to pan out. I'm glad it's panning out here. And Riley Pint, the 2016 first round pick pitcher, and Michael Toglia are heading up to Double A. They were both promoted yesterday. They promoted from Double A to Triple A. So those two are heading up to Triple A, Riley Pint and Michael Toglia. And Zach Veen is, as well as Will Etheridge, are going from High A Spokane to Double A Hartford. Really exciting news for all of those players, because those are player names that you're hoping to hear in the Rockies lineup sooner rather than later, especially if Riley Pint can continue to bounce back from retiring and the grind and the gruelingness of the game. It's a great story, and especially for Riley to come up. And Toglia is someone that I'm very, very excited about as well, because I think with Toglia going up there, Toglia being able to get some you know, basically as close as you can get to pro ball, that means we will be seeing Toglia sooner rather than later in a Rockies uniform. What does that mean for him at first base? What does that mean for CJ Krohn in first base? What does that mean for the Rockies? We'll see. I don't think they're going to rush too much with Toglia up there, with CJ Krohn still being a factor. But now's the time to be able to drop CJ Krohn into your DH spot and let someone else play first base, as Chris Bryant is on the injured list. You can use Connor Joe and your other outfielders to fill out your outfield space, keep them in the game, fill in for Chris Bryant, and keep the thump in the lineup that is CJ Krohn, while also letting Toglia get some MLB at bats. But with the timeline and with them just getting promoted up to AAA this year, I find it very, very unlikely that you'll see Pint or Toglia at the major league level this year. Maybe in September, maybe towards the end of the year, Rockies get them up. Just say, hey, let's let the young guys play. Let's let them go in there and see what we got. But out of all those promotions, Zach Veen is just someone I'm very excited about, and someone who I hope continues to be a dominant force for the Rockies and can come in and be the center fielder for the Rockies of the future. It should be a nice, interesting mix here. But again, I don't think we're going to be seeing any of those players in the Rockies uniform this season, but the right players are performing in the right ways to get themselves the promotions that they need to get up here and come back into the lineup. Adrian says, if Toglia goes to spring training and does well, do you think we trade Krohn before the season? No, I don't. I really don't. I think the Rockies love CJ Krohn. I think the Rockies, they love power-hitting first baseman who plays a fine enough defense. I think they went through the roller coasters with Murphy and Desmond. Crone has been the best first baseman the Rockies have had since Todd Helton. I would like to see at least a split, and I'd like to see Toglia get time. Again, we can't. The Rockies can't do what they did with Montero. We can't have Toglia come up four times and start contributing to the team in August when the season has been mostly decided by then. Adrian's other comment is, I see this as just another example. The front office says we're underperforming. Exactly. I think that's something that the Rockies will lean on. You will see the Rockies use that this last night's game as an underperforming reference point for them. Don't think it's going to be enough to keep them going forever, though. A lot of people are just going to have caught on already to the underperforming narrative there. But folks, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Rockies. Thank you all so much for joining us. Rockies take on the Cardinals again tonight. A 6:40 first pitch. The Rockies looking to get their 50th win of the season and get to 13 games below 500 here tonight. And we'll be breaking it all down. We'll be talking about it all right here on Locked On Rockies. You can subscribe on YouTube, and so you can be part of the live show just like MM and Adrian were. You can also find us free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. All you got to do is search Locked On Rockies. And of course, you can find us on Twitter at LO Rockies or me directly at PaulHolden33. Make sure you're checking out Locked On MLB for your second listen of the day and stay up to date with all things Colorado sports by keeping up to date with the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Nuggets, Locked On Avalanche podcast, and of course us here at the Locked On Rockies podcast. Folks, until next time, I'm Paul Holden, signing off.